Father, we are grateful today for our Lord Jesus Christ, for the privilege of being able to pray together another day, for the opportunity of looking into the Word of God once again. Open the Word, help us to lay hold of the truth of it, and grant, dear Lord, as we are reminded today of the exceeding, marvelously abundant mercy of God, our hearts will rise in gratitude to Thee. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. If you have your Bibles today, will you open them, please, to the book of the Revelation, chapter 15. We want to notice today the interlude of mercy to which our attention is drawn before the judgment of God is poured out finally upon the earth under the symbolism of the bowls of wrath poured out by the angels of God. In Revelation chapter 15, verse 2, we read, I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. Now let us stop and think for a moment what it was that John saw. He saw a sea of glass. Have we heard anything about a sea of glass before in our study of the book of the Revelation? Is there anything in the Word of God related to this particular subject? Well, we call to mind that there was in chapter 4. If you will slip that back there, you will notice when John took us for the first time to heaven, he described the throne room of heaven for us, and he described the throne of God. He described the 24 thrones around the throne, upon which sat 24 elders. He described four living creatures around the throne, which were related to the holiness of God. And in verse 6, he described this very sea of glass. Now go back to Revelation 4, 6, and notice, before the throne there was a sea of glass like unto crystal. When we were looking at the symbolic inference of that phrase, we discovered that the sea of glass before the throne was typical of God's redemptive plan through the laver in the tabernacle, through the washing of water by the Word. Everybody who was standing on the sea of glass would be standing there for one reason and one reason only, and that was that they had been redeemed from the sin of the world and the curse of evil. But look at this picture again in Revelation 15:2. Do you notice anything different about it? As I glance at it, I read, And I saw, as it were, a sea of glass mingled with fire. The sea of glass in Revelation 4 was as clear as crystal, but this sea of glass is mingled with fire. It is the same sea of glass because it is in exactly the same place. But it is mingled with fire because the people who were standing upon this sea of glass in this instance knew what it was to come out of great tribulation. Will you notice, please, verse 2? And them that stand had gotten the victory over the beast, that is, over the Antichrist, and over his image, which is used to bow down and worship, as we've already noted in our study, and over his mark, and over the number of his name. That is, they had refused to receive the mark of the beast in their forehead, or the number of his name in their right hand. Those individuals were standing on the sea of glass, having the harps of God in their possession. Now we have learned in our study that the only way an individual could escape receiving the mark of the Antichrist during the tribulation was to suffer great tribulation and eventually martyrdom by having his head cut off. Anybody who dares to stand up against the Antichrist, believe me, will die a martyr's death. These people, then, are standing on this sea of glass, mingled with fire, indicating that they have come out of great tribulation, because that is the meaning of a fiery picture in the Word of God. Do you remember Daniel 13? Three Hebrew children in Daniel's day faced practically the same kind of test that people will face during the tribulation. That is in Daniel 3. They had to bow down to the image of the ruling man of the time. They refused to do it, so they were cast into the fiery furnace. They withstood the fiery trials and came out victoriously. The Apostle Peter said, for Christians of all ages, and particularly for people of this age about which we are thinking, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. These people are standing on the sea of glass, mingled with fire, because they have come out of the fiery trials of the tribulation. But you will notice that they have not come out defeated. The world might look upon them as defeated, but God looks upon them as triumphant because they have gained the victory over the Antichrist. They were not individuals who were sad and disillusioned and disappointed. They were enjoying this new relationship, having the harps of God, harps symbolically presented in the Word of God, are always representative of joy. You might like to mark in your Bibles for future reference Isaiah chapter 24, which speaks of this period of time that is to come upon the earth. We read in verse 1, "Behold, the Lord maketh the earth empty, and maketh it waste, and turneth it upside down, and scattereth abroad the inhabitants thereof." It goes on to describe the judgments of the tribulation and their net results. And then in verse 8 we read, "The mirth of the tabret ceaseth, the noise of them that rejoiceth endeth, the joy of the harp ceaseth." This verse of Scripture indicates to us that harps are a symbol of joy. So we find these individuals who have come out of great tribulation standing before the throne of God, having the harps of God, rejoicing and singing. If you will look at verse 3, you will notice that there are two songs on the program to be sung. These people who have learned to sing the heavenly songs are singing two songs. They sing the song of Moses, the servant of God, and they sing the song of the Lamb, and they add a refrain to it. What is the song of Moses? Well, there is a difference of opinion among Bible scholars as to what the song of Moses is. The difference of opinion lies in the fact that Moses composed two songs, and either one of them would fit in very well to this particular scene. I'm going to call to your attention the two songs which Moses wrote, and you can determine in your own mind which one of them these people during the tribulation period are going to sing. Perhaps they will sing both of them. Will you turn, please, to Exodus chapter 15, reading verse 1. "Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord." We'll not take the time to read the entire song, but when you have read the entire song, you will be able to realize why it could have been an appropriate song to be sung by these people who have come out of great tribulation. If you were to compare the experience of the people during the tribulation with the experience of the children of Israel, you would see that this song would be an appropriate one, because this song was sung when the children of Israel were delivered from the land of Egypt into the land of Canaan. Moses and his people sang this song of the Word of God, delivering them from earthly tribulation. If you will compare the plagues which were placed upon the land of Egypt with some of the judgments that are put upon the earth during the tribulation, you will see a great similarity between the two. You can see why they well could sing this song when they stand on the sea of glass mingled with fire. Will you turn, please, now in your Bibles to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 32. The song recorded here is a song which Moses wrote at the command of God, that the children of Israel might sing it after he was gone, that they might be eternally reminded to serve God. Well, what song was it Moses wrote? It's recorded in chapter 32, and it's a marvelous song indeed. I wish that we had time to read it together this morning, that you might get the feel of this song and realize that it is a song which will be sung as the people who have been delivered from great tribulation gather round the throne of God. But if you glance at the third verse of Romans chapter 15, they sing not only the song of Moses, but they sing as well the song of the Lamb. Now you are probably wondering what the song of the Lamb is, and we're going to have to reserve our discussion of it until the next time we meet together, because our time is gone.